Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, happy Sunday that we are all here together and gathered in worship. I know it's a kind of bittersweet day for Leah and I, knowing that it's our last day with you guys as a vicar, but it's been a great blessing to be here this last year. And I know I said that at your guys' quarterly meeting about 2 weeks ago, but you know, this is the actual last Sunday, so I get to say it again because it's important to make sure you guys know that it has been a great time this last year, and it's been a great time of growth and also to watch and serve all of you and do all the things that come with all of what we have. Are there any announcements? I know there's one update to announcements in the bulletin today. But with that, I think that's all of our announcements. So let's begin with our opening hymn.
Word of God, come down on earth, living rain from heaven descending. Touch our hearts and bring to birth faith and hope for our life ending. Word Almighty, we revere you. Word made flesh, we long to hear you. Word eternal.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
The Mighty One,
God the Lord,
speaks
and summons the earth
from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire. Around him, a mighty tempest. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. The Apostle Paul writes, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. God says, gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High.
And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me.
Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Most merciful God, we call upon you because we are troubled by our sins, our sinful thoughts, words, and actions. We are equally troubled by those times when we have failed to act or speak up. Forgive us for the sake of Jesus, who delivered us through his perfect life, death, and resurrection, so that we may glorify you with our lives. Our gracious God has done all that was needed for us to be his friends. Be assured that our sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your grace and mercy have strengthened your people throughout the ages and emboldened them to come before you in all circumstances. Strengthen our faith and confidence so that we come to you boldly, consistently, and persistently. Through Jesus Christ, with whom you rule and reign with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our scripture readings. Our Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 18. Then the Lord said, "Because of the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and there is sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. I, who am I, to dust and ashes? Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy if I find 55 there." Again, he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again. But this once, suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went away when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from Colossians chapter 2. "Therefore, as you received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all and rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Now confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I invite the children forward for a children's message. Morning, Violet. Morning, Barrett. Are you guys familiar with the Lord's Prayer? Did you catch that we were reading that this morning from our gospel text? Yeah? What do all those words mean? They're pretty big. So the first thing we pray is, "Hallowed be your name." What do we mean when we say that about God's name? Do you know? No? Hallowed means to make his name holy. What do we mean by holy? I think I've taught you that before, but it might be kind of tough to remember.
Holy
Spirit. Well, Holy Spirit, yeah. Holy means to be different. It means to be set apart. And so when we say that God's name is holy, when we pray that his name would be holy, it's already holy, but we're saying that we want it to be holy when we say it. And so when we come together in worship with Jesus here in church, we're saying God's name is holy and it's different and it's special, and that's why we worship God and offer him praise and thanksgiving and all the things that we do today, right? And so it's a special set-apart name for us, and that means we get to call on his name in all things. And when do we call upon Jesus' name? Well, we say it's holy, but...
every day.
Yeah, you say every day, but maybe when we're upset and we're struggling with something, right? We can pray to Jesus and ask him for help. We do all those things. And what do we say after? Hallowed be thy name.
Amen.
Not quite. What comes after that in the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Yeah. And so those two, God's kingdom is of heaven, right? We say Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven has come when he was here on earth. And so when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we're praying that all the things that he offers us, he'll still give us, and that his kingdom will continue to be with us when we gather together and worship. And so what do we receive from God? What does Jesus give us?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, yeah. What did he do on the cross?
He died for us.
He died for us for our sins, right?
Yeah.
And so when we ask for his will to be done, we're asking him to continue to forgive us, to offer us that forgiveness for all the things we've done wrong, but also that he'll continue to keep us in our faith, that he'll give us all good gifts, all the things that he does, we hope he still gives us. And then we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so that's talking about sins, isn't it? That we know that God forgives us. And so what do we do with that forgiveness?
We try not to do it again.
Yeah, part of it. And then what do we do after not doing it again? As we forgive those who trespass against us, right?
Try to help people that are against us?
Well, we pray for other people, right? And we offer them forgiveness. If someone hurts us, instead of going like, well, you know what? I want to hurt you back. We can forgive them. And we can move on and we say, you're forgiven. Or they say, I'm sorry, and we can say, I forgive you. And those words are very important because that's what Jesus did for us. That's going to be the basis for our meditation for the actual sermon, but this, I thought, was a good time to teach you guys the Lord's Prayer a little bit, and we'll end there, so that's where the sermon will start. But why don't we join together in a word of prayer, okay? You can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we give thanks that your name is holy.
We give thanks that your name is holy.
And that you have forgiven us all of our sins.
And that you have forgiven us all our sins.
And continue to give us that forgiveness.
And continue to give us that forgiveness.
Each time we come and hear your word.
Each time we come and hear your word.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats. Oh, thank you. I got to open the door.
First knock.
It's prayer hands.
Yeah.
Cool. Isn't that what happens in prayer?
Yeah.
Okay, well, at this time, we will sing our hymn of the day.
Christ the eternal Lord has promised.
Enlighten all who read within your word by faith to
us to know as we are known.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. We all know far too much about debt. Most of our lives are spent paying off some type of financial debts that we've incurred, or maybe having a house or having a car. And so when you get a new car, you have to take out a loan if you don't have the cash to pay out $20,000 or more dollars for a new vehicle. If you get a new house, you take out a mortgage and you go into debt. And even when each month you use your credit card, you're technically borrowing money, even if you pay your card off at the end of the month and you're not accruing an actual debt, you're still borrowing it and technically going into debt. And so we understand that word pretty well. We understand what debt is and what really goes on. And if you haven't really had that type of debt in your life, you'd probably be the exception to the rule, because really we think about finances and that's mostly what happens. Though I think we also can talk about debt in a different way. You can think of debt as something to do with our actions in some sense, and we might not use that phrase, but when someone does something that they shouldn't have done, say someone has messed up at work, well, we expect them to fix their problem. If they messed up, they have to pay for it and fix what they did wrong. And so it's a sense there's a debt in that relationship, or a debt that they have to repay because they've messed up their work. And we kind of think that way. If someone gets caught speeding down the road, they might get caught by a police officer that's going to say, oh, I caught you speeding, here's a ticket. And in some sense, that's a debt to society, because they're deeming, well, your speeding was maybe going to hurt somebody, so you have to pay this fine because you might have put people at danger. And so we kind of get that idea. But we might not call it that, but that's really what sin is in our lives, is that it is a debt of sorts. And just like some actions in our lives cannot be undone by taking accountability for them and saying, I'm sorry, you can't undo actions all the time. That's where our sin leaves us, is indebted to God forever, unable to take care of that debt that we owe him. And so we know from our scripture readings this morning that it's clear to us that our debt has been canceled by the Lord. And so that means we also get to go and cancel the debts of others, sins. Though I think we might struggle to cancel debts in that way. You know, forgiveness is kind of a funny thing, because you and I know it's pretty simple. It's not hard, but we also don't do it very well all the time. And so we know it's as simple as providing an apology, as simply as saying, I'm sorry, and the person who is receiving the apology hears it, and they might say, I forgive you. It's very simple, but it doesn't always work out that way. And of course, we're familiar with the words from our gospel text this morning from Luke. As Jesus said, as he was teaching his disciples to pray in this petition of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And now we pray a little different version of the Lord's Prayer. It's pretty much from Matthew's gospel account, not Luke's. But really, I think this is an important one, because I'm going to focus on that word debt, and you're going to hear it come up quite a bit. And so that's going to be a big portion of what we're talking about this morning, so we get the full picture. But we understand what Luke means, even if that's not what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer each Sunday. We know he's talking about our debt of sin that is now forgiven by God. And Paul even phrased it this way in our epistle reading. This is how God's grace works. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of our debt that stood against us. Our debt is unable to be repaid, yet the Lord canceled it anyways. And this is, I think, maybe where our first struggle with forgiveness lies, is not being able to cancel other people's debt to us, their sin to us. And so, for example, if somebody was envious of something that we've had, or that they slander us and drag our name through the mud, they're in debt to you of sorts. You know that they've hurt you, and so in some sense you might think in your mind, well, they owe me for what they did. And so maybe you lose your temper and you want to put them in their place, because, you know, that's a way for them to repay what they've done to you. And I think, men, we might especially find that to be how forgiveness should work, or at least how we think these debts should be repaid, that we might, in our stubbornness, struggle to realize that It's easier to cancel the debt than allow it to boil over into anger. And it might even feel almost childish to say those words, "I'm sorry," or to respond, "I forgive you," because we feel like it might just be destroying accountability. But that's not really what forgiveness does. We're actually just giving the gifts of God that he's already given us. And this, if we do this, would make us no different than the man Jesus described in our gospel text as impudent or arrogant, who said, "Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are now with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." Now, the goofy thing about all of this is the man's already up out of bed. It's not like he's unable to get up. He's at the door answering the guy who's been knocking at his door at midnight asking for the bread. And so these words are just straight frustration at the matter that he is now having to help his neighbor and offer the gifts that he has to him because his friend has now come off the road. And so he's really more just frustrated and not desiring to help the friend. And he might go, "Well, yeah, if I got woke up at midnight, I would be kind of frustrated too." But part of what is going on here is culturally, if someone came from the road, you're supposed to be able to provide for them because you don't know how long they've been out. They could have been out all day. They might not have eaten. They might not have water. For all this guy knows, his friend who doesn't have the food, he's partially at fault, but his friend that's come from the road could be on the brink of death. He needs to provide for him. So now what he is doing is locking this door and shutting the gifts that God has given him to not help his neighbor here physically. And that is really what our forgiveness can do in a spiritual manner. If we, in our frustration or indifference towards someone's apology, refuse to offer that forgiveness, then we're actually neglecting the spiritual needs of those who need to receive that forgiveness. So, no, it's not a physical need of bread, but we are saying, "No, this gift from God is not for me to give out right now." And that need for forgiveness, though, is something that we should all recognize. Just like this man locked in the house should know we all need our daily bread and we all need food and sustenance, he should have known that he should provide this because we all fall short of that call to forgive. And that's the very thing that Jesus has done for us so that we might offer it to others. And you've probably even heard this phrase, "forgive and forget." It's a pretty common phrase that we've probably all heard. And I don't know that Scripture actually speaks about forgiveness this way entirely, though. Now, obviously, Scripture speaks of forgiveness as something being given freely by God himself, and that means that we should just as freely offer it. But just let's go back to that term of debt again. You know, if a debtor knew of a guy that owed him $1 million or whatever exuberant amount of money that you can imagine, some ridiculous amount, and he goes, "I'm going to cancel your debt. I forgive you. Don't worry about it." Do you think he's going to forget that that man used to owe him $1 million? He's not going to quickly forget that. And so that's really our Lord is, our sin from birth is so large that there's no forgetting our sin. He knows all of it. Yet he still has forgiven us anyways. And so our remembering of sin does not necessarily mean that we haven't forgiven somebody. And to put it in Paul's words again, the Lord knows of all of our sins, but he cancels the record. And so the Lord knows, but he still forgives our debt. Now, this might also further describe where we struggle with forgiveness, though. Some of us have long memories. We can remember many sins against us. You might even remember something that happened to you all the way back in high school, and you might go, "I really don't like that person still." And so that long memory has now created a grudge, right? And so it's not really the memory of the sin that's the issue. It's that if you allow it to fester and to boil over into a grudge that now lasts for who knows how long, that now it becomes a problem. And so I already picked on the guys, but generally, ladies, I think this might be where you struggle with forgiveness a little bit more. Because you remember the thing that I forgot to do a month ago, and I don't even have any memory of what I was supposed to do yesterday. Now, the guys find it maybe a bit childish to offer forgiveness because it seems like we're destroying accountability. But I think it's that you might struggle with those memories that have built up over time. Now, of course, remembering, again, is not the sin, but it's when we allow that to boil over, to become a festering sin. And now you're actually multiplying the sin of someone else, that they've sinned against you. And so now instead of just letting it go and canceling that debt, you're allowing it to boil over and multiplying the sin in you and making it your own personal sin. And so this is why we pray In this petition of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This protects us from building up these grudges, because we know the Lord has forgiven us, and that means we also are now praying in the Lord's Prayer that we might have the ability to forgive others and offer that forgiveness just as freely as we have received it. Now, so far, I've made it very clear that we imperfectly forgive everybody. It's not really any secret. We know we're not great at doing this all the time. And whether it's viewing forgiveness in our stubbornness and allowing it to boil over into anger, or whether it's being annoyed at someone coming to our door at midnight, or if we struggle to prevent grudges, we fall short of the call that the Lord has given us to forgive others as he has forgiven us. And we pray for it every single time we pray the Lord's Prayer. We even confess it most Sundays when we gather together in worship, in confession and absolution. And yet, Jesus makes clear that even in our imperfect state, that he still uses us to spread these gifts to others. He, by the power of the Holy Spirit, though, of course. And he said himself in our text, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?" It's by the Lord's gift of the Holy Spirit that we share the very gifts that he has given to us just as freely with others. Now, Jesus then rattled off some examples, and they seem kind of silly and obvious examples, of how a father would actually care for his son, then showed him all these people examples of how they actually give these good gifts without even realizing it. And so, of course, a father will not give his son a serpent or a scorpion. He's going to give him the things that he needs. And so these examples just show how we actually do offer these gifts by the power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes without even realizing it. Just as simply as bringing food to the table for your family is really sharing in those good gifts that God has given us. Now, of course, he's also describing a Father in heaven who is perfect, and he's a perfect giver of all these gifts, but that means then now we are enabled to imperfectly give those perfect gifts to other people. And so Jesus is still teaching us that we share them. And so just as a father gives a fish and not a serpent, or an egg and not a scorpion, we also can offer and teach forgiveness in our own households so we raise up a Christian family, but then also from there it outpours into the world and we offer that forgiveness freely to other people instead of increasing our own stubbornness and our own grudges. In fact, we get to do all of this with great boldness and confidence, as seen by how the Lord teaches us to pray this petition. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And that first word, forgive, is a command. And it's not like you and I are demanding anything of God in prayer that he doesn't already do for us. It's not like we're commanding God, but we can be so bold and confident to pray just as Jesus taught us, because we know that God is offering us forgiveness freely, and it comes to us just this emphatically in our lives. That we know that we're not demanding anything, but asking God to remain true to his nature, just like what Abraham was doing in our Old Testament reading from Sodom and Gomorrah. We're merely asking confidently that he would provide us the same gifts that he provides us every single day of our life. And that also means that in that petition of the Lord's Prayer, we are asking that the Holy Spirit would be sent upon us to empower us to forgive others. And as we pray that we might be forgiven, the Lord is sending that Holy Spirit to change our hearts and offer that same gift. And now with the Holy Spirit comes surety. Not only that our own sins are forgiven, but surety that we also can increase in the gifts of God's. And really the gift today that we're speaking about is forgiveness. And so that we too can then be confident to forgive and ask for forgiveness, even if it's not easy and even if it's an inconvenience, really especially when it's an inconvenience to us. And through my time here at Zion, it's been very clear that the Holy Spirit is increasing these gifts in all of you, and that you continue to pour them out to all of us. You confidently go to the Lord each week, receiving that forgiveness. You confidently walk together as one big family, giving that forgiveness to one another. You confidently trust that the Lord will use you to share these gifts and deliver them to the world outside of these walls each weekend. And it has been a great blessing to be a part of that this year. And so today, I don't think you're going to be giving Leah and I any serpents or scorpions. I think you know how to give good gifts. And Really, the ice cream social last weekend showed us that you know how to do the potluck thing really well. All the potlucks are great. But forgiveness isn't easy, but it is simple. And we can be like the man answering the door that Jesus used as an example, that we can be frustrated and bitter and upset that we should share that gift, especially when it inconveniences us at midnight. Forgiveness can feel as though we're letting someone go off scot-free, but we're really not if we understand that the debt was never ours to begin with. It was the Lord's that he's already forgiven. And it can be frustrating, especially if we know that if someone would not have sinned against us to begin with, we wouldn't have to offer that forgiveness at all. But we must remember that even the forgiveness that we have received had a price and it's been paid and canceled out for us. We aren't the one paying the debt. And so you're not the one canceling the $1 million. Christ's death canceled our debt of sin. And so then we also get to share that same gift just as freely. And so each time we say the Lord's Prayer, we boldly and confidently trust that that forgiveness is ours, but we are also being enabled to provide that forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit is working in us to increase that gift to share with the world. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there's life and salvation. In the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, we will sing our prayer hymn and collect our tithes and offerings.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the
Please rise for prayer. Father in heaven, we give thanks that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. Recalling this season of Pentecost, that you have poured out your Holy Spirit upon the church, forever pointing us to the cross for our salvation, repaying our debts by your blood. We pray for the whole church, that you may uphold and strengthen her in this world, raising up those who faithfully proclaim and teach your word. We pray especially for Zion as they go through this vacancy, granting us hearts of thanksgiving for the reception of Vicar-elect Berg, who will serve St. Paul in Zion in the coming year, starting this next weekend. For the members of this congregation, O Lord, we give thanks. Bless their time in worship, that they might be filled and nurtured in their faith, knowing that you offer them great and abundant mercy. For those who do good works in this congregation, O Lord, we give thanks, especially for those who planned the ice cream social last weekend, allowing our congregation and the community to come together in a time of fellowship. We also lift before you those who are sick or struggling with long-term afflictions. We pray for Dwayne, Don and Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma, Ron, Marisol, Tom, and Vicky, the Pedago family, and Laura. Lord, grant them healing in your peace, that they might receive your compassion. We pray for favorable weather throughout this summer, that all who labor in the field might find a plentiful crop in the year to come. And lastly, Lord, we pray for this nation, that you might bring about peace and change the hearts of men, turning them to your word. We ask especially that you might guide our President Donald, leading all in authority to make godly decisions that support and defend your word. Trusting in our Lord and his promises, we boldly pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, look upon us with his favor and give us his peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn.
Rejoice, O pilgrim throng, rejoice, give